Welcome back to this class called Preacher Preparation Presentation, a class on making and preaching sermons. I shared with you in the previous session just some of my passion for preaching, and some of my learning for preaching was, started in seminary where I was given a class, but it was really enhanced when I was given an assignment. In the seminary I went to, we had to go out and serve in churches in what was called field work, and I was assigned to work with a man who was 6 months from retirement in a little tiny church in Tucson, Arizona. And so I remember the first sermon I presented. It was one I presented in class and gotten a very good grade on, and so I was expecting some really good response. And after I preached on that Sunday morning, on Monday morning I gathered with this pastor, older, experienced, preached in various situations, man, and to evaluate my sermon and to make suggestions. And his response to me was rather a knife to the heart. He said, everything you said was right. He said, but, he said, did you notice that people quit listening after about 4 minutes? He said, so then, first of all, after crushing me, he said, let's look at this sermon again and look at it from the attitude of the hearer. What does the hearer need in order to stay engaged in the message? And so we did that every week for 12 weeks. Every Monday we'd gather and look at the sermon I preached, and we'd take it apart, and we would talk about how will this be heard by those people to whom I am preaching. And so he was the first person who really began to teach me how to preach. And so I've been following his tradition. He's now with the Lord a long time ago and in heaven. But I'm trying to continue that legacy of, showing people how to preach with the people in mind. Now, that was session one last week, whenever you listen to it. Session two today, I want to talk about, you'll notice, the call into ministry. When you look into Scripture, you find that often preachers have a sense of calling. In other words, they just don't decide to get up and start talking and see if anybody will listen, but they have a calling to it. When it comes to a call, not everybody who takes this class is going to have that sense of call. Maybe some of you are doing it just to get the credits. Maybe some of you are checking it out to see if this is something you might want to do. Some have that call and are living it out in evangelistic meetings, Bible studies, and church services, and maybe you're an itinerant preacher. And some may serve in other capacities. In the last church I served, we had a person on staff who went to seminary, and he graduated with a Master of Divinity degree. I'll share something more about his call in the ministry later. But, he said, I'm not called to preach. He was called to be a worship leader in our church, and he was exceptional in that regard. And he was called to help develop, arts and the senses, making worship appropriate for all the senses. And so that was his calling, but he had to go through a course on preaching. Well, maybe that's you. You're called to be involved in some other area of ministry, but, you've got to do this to get the credits and get the diploma. Whatever your reason for thinking about preaching today, I want to talk to you about the call and how important that is. Now, when we look in Scripture, we find that there are a variety of people who have experienced a call. Now, Jeremiah is one of those people. This is chapter 1, verse 5 of Jeremiah. Before I formed you, God speaks to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And the word there is the same one that in Genesis says, Adam knew his wife, and she became pregnant and bore a son. Now, it's not just the word for sexual intercourse. It's the word for, I know you, I love you, I'm connected to you. Before you were formed in the womb, I was connected to you, I loved you. Before you were born, I set you apart, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, what he's saying here to Jeremiah is, you've got a calling on your life. Now, if you go on in that passage, first chapter of Jeremiah, you'll find that Jeremiah says, wait a minute, no, I'm too young. I'm too young. I don't want to do this. But God keeps coming back and says, no, I'm giving you my word, and I want you to share it with this people. Now, Jeremiah's experience in that call was not a real positive one. In fact, he's called the weeping prophet. And you'll notice the subtitle, Standing for God in Post-Christian Times. Jeremiah prophesied to a people who were going to be taken away into captivity to Babylon because they had been disobedient to the word of God, because they had ignored God, because they were worshiping other gods. And as a result, you know, he's an appropriate prophet for today in the United States, where we have become a post-Christian nation. But I can imagine, Jeremiah, you know, he was rejected, he was arrested. At one point, he's thrown into a cistern to sit there and maybe die if the city is actually conquered the way he had prophesied. He's mistreated. I imagine that there were many, many times in his ministry of prophesying, of preaching the word of God to people who weren't listening and weren't changing. I imagine there were many times he went back to say, but I'm called to do this. I can do no other. I have a good friend in ministry, my best friend. We've been friends since we were in middle school together years and years and years ago. And he became a pastor as well. We went through college and seminary together, often tracking same classes. And one time I was in a Bible study group with him, and it was all pastors of large churches. And we were talking about this book, which suggested that, you know, God created you to serve, gave you the personality, gave you the gifts that you need to serve where you are. And let's talk about that. And so we talked about it. But one of the things he said was, I think this is a bunch of hooey, he said. He was a severe introvert. He was pastoring a church of 1,600 people, but he was a severe introvert. He said, if God had made me, had given me the job that fits my personality, so I would be in a greenhouse planting plants and growing flowers. But, he said, I have a master. I have a Lord. I have a Savior whom I love. And he said, go, and so I go. Well, I sense that somewhat how Jeremiah responded to his call. Sometimes it's difficult. If you're in a preaching ministry, you know it's not always wonderful. It isn't always that people bend over backward in expressing gratitude for your deep thoughts or the way you present them. Sometimes you can get people who don't like you and treat you as an enemy. Then it's time to go back to my calling. I'm called to do this. So, Jeremiah. Our second person I want to look at is Samuel. Now, you all know the story from 1 Samuel 3. Where Samuel is this boy who's been given to the temple by his grateful mother because she was barren. She prayed for a child and had Samuel. So he's put into this service of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And then, he's asleep one night and he hears a calling. And the calling is Samuel. And he thinks it's Eli the priest. And so he runs to say, here am I. What do you need? And says, I didn't say anything. Eli says, so he goes back to sleep. It happens again. Third time, Eli says, it happens again. You know, then you say, here am I, Lord. And so that's what Samuel does. And he listens to God, and he experiences a call to ministry, and he's to deliver a message, particularly to Eli, the priest. And it's not a positive lesson. But here we learn something about Samuel's call into ministry. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, 1 Samuel 3, verse 21. And so his calling was as a young boy. And later it says in one of the translations, English translations, later in the book of Samuel, that none of his words fell to the ground. In other words, God made him effective because of his call into this ministry of preaching. So, third person is Isaiah. Isaiah had another different kind of call in the ministry. With Samuel, maybe you experienced a call as a child. I've got friends who experienced that. They grew up expecting to be pastors, preachers, because that's the call early on. For Isaiah, it was different. He was a prophet of God, but his main calling came and is recorded in Isaiah chapter 6. There you will remember, we're told that in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah had this vision, and it was a vision of God in heaven on his throne. Now, he hears the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He sees elders bowing down. He hears the music of heaven going. And then these words, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Send me. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Now, you know, he was responding in a call to what he had seen. He had seen something of the greatness and the power and the love of God. He had seen his power, but he had seen his mercy. He had seen his grace. And so he was ready to respond. And in response, remember, an angel takes a cinder from the altar before God and brings it and touches his lips and says, "You're clean." And then, you know, Isaiah says, "Here I am. Here I am. Send me. Send me." Now, some of you may have gotten a call in that way. You know, there's a person right near me, it's about 35 miles away, became a pastor because his life was messed up. He was involved with gangs in the city of Holland, Michigan, and he was married, and he was getting older, and he had a child, and his wife finally said, "You know what, I'm done with you if you don't change your life. You got to go talk to somebody." And so he decided to go talk to a pastor, and he went to a pastor, and the Spirit was alive and working in that conversation, and he came out of that conversation a changed man. And he was so grateful for seeing the power of God at work in his life to take away the desire for drugs, and I'm not saying that it's always that way and those kind of things, but just healed him, restored him, created in him a new person. And as a result, he said, "I want to tell people about this God." So sometimes our call comes that way. And here's an artist's rendition of what he might have seen. It's you know, unbelievable, hard to even imagine. The next person is Ezekiel. When you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that he gets a call, and it comes in chapter 2 as he describes it. And again, it's a different kind of call. It's not the same thing as anybody who's been before. But we read these words. "Son of man," don't know how God appeared to him, but is speaking to him. "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says." And so he's given this commission to preach the word, to speak the word to these people who were obstinate, who had been rebelling against God. And so he goes, and he's got a calling. And in fact, when you read through the book of Ezekiel, you'll find it's a unique kind of thing because he has these series of visions and describes himself as a watchman on the walls. You know, in that culture, you would have a walled-in city, and a watchman would stand on the top. In fact, they'd have several of them who would pace back and forth, who would, you know, cover a certain area, looking out to see if an enemy was coming, looking out to be able to forewarn people of disaster. And Ezekiel had that role, he's saying, for the people of Israel. He says, "I'm watching, and I'm seeing disaster coming." In fact, God predicts it coming from the north, and it does come. And he said, "So I'm the watchman," and he gives these wonderful visions, like the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. That's, you know, represented in the picture there, where you know, he has this vision, and a person asks him, a person from heaven asks him, "Can these dry bones live?" And he says, "I don't know." And then they proceed to have life because God breathes life into it. So it's a unique kind of call, but it was a call saying, "I'm giving you the words. You go. You bring testimony. You tell my words to this obstinate and rebellious nation." Another interesting call to ministry is the prophet Hosea. As you look to him, you find these words as far as call, chapter 1, verse 1. "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." The word of the Lord that came to Hosea. We're not told how that happened. You know, I wish I knew. You know, someday when I get to heaven, I want to watch the recordings of some of these things that I hope exist in heaven to say, how did that happen? How did all of a sudden Hosea know that he was getting a word from the Lord? But his calling was very unique in preaching, in that his life was going to be a metaphor for God's relationship to his people. And so he is told to marry a prostitute. And as he marries the prostitute, he has children. And God tells him to give these children special names, refer to the relationship between God and his people and how it's been broken down by their disobedience. And then his wife decides to leave him, and she runs away, and Hosea gets her back, and even pays the cost of a slave to get her back one time. But she runs away, and he goes with deep love and commitment and calling from God to go get her back over and over again. And that becomes a message to the people about God. So it's a different kind of calling. Not only was he proclaiming the word of God, but he was living it out in a particular way that was going to become the model that would hopefully, tweak the consciences of people and draw them back to God. So we've looked at a lot of them. One more prophet here, and that is, two more prophets, but one of them, Jonah. You know the story of Jonah, right? Where God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. In fact, here it is. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now again, 1 verse 1, how that happened, we don't know. But it said, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So he's given a calling, and you know the story. He decided he didn't want to do it. He decided he was going to rebel. And so he gets on a ship going the other way, and you know the story. There's this big storm, and finally by lot it's decided that Jonah is the problem. And so he tells these sailors, throw me overboard and that'll take care of it. And the great fish, so again, artist rendering, swallows him, spits him up on the shore, and he goes to Nineveh and preaches repentance, and they repent. It's a powerful book. But it says something about the call of God, that maybe you are one of those who's been ignoring the call of God. You've gotten it to preach, but you're not sure that this is what you want to do, and so you go another direction. In the last church I served, I had a partner in ministry who hadn't gone to seminary. He found what we call a non-traditional route into ministry. Been in education, he'd been a teacher, he'd been a principal in a church, or in a school, excuse me. And then finally decided that this call was something he couldn't ignore anymore. So he began preparing for 3 years through this non-traditional education formation system. And I was happy to have him as a partner. And when I retired from that church, he took over as the leadership pastor. And it happened because for years he was somebody who was ignoring God's call in his life. But now he's saying, this is what I'm called to do. And again, a different kind of calling. And then the last Old Testament one is Elisha. Again, a unique kind of call into ministry, to be somebody who's presenting the word of God to people. You can read about it in 1 Kings 19:19. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. That's his call to ministry. Remember that Elisha was plowing the field with 10 oxen at that point, 10 pairs of oxen, and so he had a big business. This was big business in his day. And he's driving one of them. Apparently there's 9 others who are driving the other one. So this is a guy who owns a business. He owns a farm. And yet Elijah comes. Elijah, who's just defeated the prophets of Baal and Asheroth on Mount Carmel. Elijah, who's been to the mountain and met God, and God said, I'm getting your replacement ready. Go find Elisha. And he goes and throws his cloak around him. Simply a symbol of, I want you to join me. And Elisha burns his bridges. In other words, he breaks up the yoke and oxen that he's the yoke that he's driving them with. He kills the oxen. He makes a great big feast for people, and then he's off. But it all starts with that simple act of throwing a cloak around him. Now, I know some people who are called into ministry that way. Recently, we were in the church I last served. We were looking for somebody to fill a key position, a new position. And it was full-time, and we were looking for somebody who was going to expand our outreach into the world in a meaningful way and our outreach in our community in a significant way. And one of the people who applied for it, and we interviewed him, was somebody who had been in the business world for years and years and years. And so we asked him, how did you get into ministry? He'd been in a very effective ministry in a large church in Indiana, which is not too far from us here in Michigan. And he said it was simple. Said his pastor came to him one time, put his arm around him, and said, I need you. I need you. The church had grown in various ways, and this man had talents in administration and thinking in a way of business, so that he was able to say, come, join me. And the man did, and it changed his life. So these are right Old Testament kinds of situations. In New Testament, we find people like John the Baptist. I'm sorry that slipped down to the next line in the PowerPoint there. But John the Baptist is a New Testament person. And he's rather unique, too, because he received his calling into ministry before he was born. You remember the story. about his father, who's a priest, and he's in the temple, and the angel of God appears to him and says, you know what, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. He's going to go before the Lord. In fact, these are the words that are used. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1, verse 17. That's his calling. But it wasn't given to John. It was given to his parents. And then they had to make that decision to bring this child up the way they were directed. And it's a beautiful passage when you read about how, John's father is deaf and mute. He can't talk until the day the baby's born. And he writes on the slate, his name will be John, when people are asking what the name will be. And he breaks forth in a glorious moment of praise. And John the Baptist lives out that ministry. Now, the disciples had a calling, but theirs was very, very different. It was simply Jesus saying, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. These fishermen who were on the shores of Galilee. And so they were with Jesus, and they learned how to preach by being with Jesus. Now, the last person I want to consider in the calling is Paul. Paul had a really unique calling in the ministry. You remember he's on the way to Damascus. He's a persecutor of the church. And all of a sudden, a bright light shows around him and his companions. And Paul is struck blind, and he's led back into the city of Damascus as Jesus has spoken to him and says, you know, you're kicking against the goads. And he says, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting, because you're persecuting my church. And then Ananias is told to go and, heal this man because he's seen you coming. He's praying and he's seen a person coming. You go. And, Ananias said, wait a minute, I've heard about this man. I don't want to go. He's persecuting your church. He said, no. He said, I've shown him all that he's going to suffer for me as he's called to be the preacher to the Gentiles. So those are a variety of kinds of callings. What is your call like? How do you experience a call into preaching? Everyone is unique. I'll share mine. The first time I felt a calling in the ministry was when I was in sixth grade. And in fact, here's the school that I attended. It was then called Southwest Christian School. In the sixth grade, a woman who taught it was Mrs. Friends, Ruth Friends, and I will never forget her. At that time in my life, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to do with my life, certainly. If it was going to be anything, I was planning it to be in music because that's what I loved. I played a couple of different instruments. I sang, and I wanted to be involved in music somewhere. But we went to Ruth Friend's class. Day one, she described everything we were going to cover for that year and described it in detail. And she says, if you're in this class, you are not going to be able to do this class without at least 1 hour of homework every night. And I'm going to expect that of you. I'm going to send you home with homework so that at least 1 hour every night you are learning beyond what I give you in this classroom to learn. And it was one of those, oh man, this is overwhelming, all the stuff we're going to learn this year. The tradition in her class was that every noon before we ate lunch, someone in the class would give a brief devotional or read a passage of scripture and pray. And they decided to go alphabetically, and Ballast at that time was the first name in the alphabet. So I get up on day one after we've heard this all morning, everything we're going to learn, the homework we're going to have, and I don't know how I knew it, but I was a pretty snotty little kid. And this is the passage that I read from Ecclesiastes 12, 11 and 12. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making of books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Can you imagine? And then I went back to my desk. I prayed, went back to my desk, sat down, and after a few minutes, here came Mrs. Friend. I was near the back of the room, my desk was, and here comes Mrs. Friend. She was a big woman, at least in my 11 or 12-year-old mind. She certainly was at that point. And I'm thinking, oh no, here we go. I'm in trouble. First day of school, and I'm in trouble. And I'm going to end up in the principal's office, and it's going to be a tough year. And so she comes. She leans down next to me so she can speak quietly so that only I hear and nobody else hears. And her words were, she said, have you ever thought of becoming a preacher? I thought at that moment, I thought, you're crazy. I said to her, no. I hadn't thought of that. My image of preachers was not good at that point. They talked like they had steeple stuck in their throat, and they were irrelevant, and I had learned to not pay attention in church because I didn't think they were very effective. I couldn't listen. Had I thought about doing it? No. But those words never left me. It was a sense of maybe. And then later on, a few years later, when I was in high school, we had kind of a revival in the school that I attended where there was an altar call given one day by a group of kids who came from another school to talk about how their lives changed when they quit asking, what do I want to do with my life? And began asking, what does God want me to do with my life? And they challenged us to do the same, and they invited us forward for prayer. And I went along with about 150 people, kids, high school kids. And as a result of that day, we started a Thursday night worship time. We called it The Happening. The school was gracious. They opened up the school, said we could use the facility, and we would worship together. We'd break up into small Bible study groups, and then we would gather back together and close the time with singing and prayer. And in that experience, I found it in several different groups that I led, small groups. You know, it wasn't the same group every week. But several people said, have you ever thought of going into ministry of preaching? Because when you talk about the Word of God, it becomes clear to me. And I thought, no, I haven't thought of that. But I began thinking, and I thought I could make a deal with God. And I made the deal by saying, okay, God, if this is the direction you want me to go, I want to go to music, but if you want me to go that direction, I will go. I will be obedient, but you've got to provide the means to do that financially, because this means a lot of schooling if I'm going to go all the way through seminary at that point. It means a lot of money. And so, God, I'll go, but you have to make it possible. And, by His grace, He did. And, seven, 8 years later, I graduated from seminary and began ministry. So what is your call like? Is it that of a child that you see someone preaching and you think, I want to do that? I have a friend who experienced a call that way ever since he was a child. Another friend that I know of, as a child, had his mother, kept telling him he was going to be a preacher and encourage people to ask him, tell him what he thinks he's going to be. And he said, boy, I was so manipulative and all that stuff. But when he got a little older, into his high school and college years, he began to think about that. And it was that child sense of, this is what I'm supposed to do. Maybe you received an invitation to preach and you've done it. And you didn't think it was your gift, but it felt right. And so you're feeling a calling to engage in that more deeply. Do it. I told you about the young man on our staff who was called to worship leadership and took a course in preaching. So we had to arrange for him to preach at least one time during that period of time that he was in that class. And he preached, and it was fantastic. I went to him the next day, and I said, really? You don't feel a calling to preach? It was a powerful message, and it was well done. It was well written. It was culturally relevant. It was good. Well, now he's preaching regularly, once to twice a month, as part of the rotation of preacher team that exists in that church that I just left. Maybe it's a burden for you that you just see someone that's going the wrong way. Maybe you're like an Ezekiel who says, well, I've got to give this message to these people who are wandering. Or maybe just somebody said to you, try it and see. What is your call like? In my tradition, we talk about an inner call and an outer call. That you get the inner call, but that doesn't mean you're called to be the preacher unless you get an outer call. Somebody else in the church, the church recognizes it. If you're getting an outer inner call right now, pray that God makes it an outer one too, makes that clear. Or look as we look any time for God's will. Those three words there are very important. How do you find God's will? Well, you search the Bible. And you'll find that God will make His Word come alive for you in certain ways. And sometimes you will experience the call of God that way. When I left my first church to go to California, a long way away from parents and my kids' grandparents and that sort of thing, it was with a sense of the Bible speaking to me because I was spiritual father to many in that little church I pastored. But I had this sense of it was time. And that came through studying the Bible and hearing, in the book of Acts, or in Paul saying, "Who am I?" You know, I somebody planted, somebody else watered, somebody. He says that to the church in Corinth. And who am I? I'm just one of the workers. And so I felt free to leave, and I felt the adventure of going to California. And what about a burden? Maybe he'll give you the burden. If those three are lined up, that's God's call in your life. So the bearings mean the circumstances. Is there a call to preach somewhere? What are the circumstances that you are facing? And then the burden is, what has God called you to say and do? If you do these things, if you're seeking the call of God, it will make your preaching more effective. Because it won't be coming from you. It'll be coming from the one who gives the word of the Lord came to, as we read so many times just in this session. And so I urge you to explore your call. In fact, if I can give you an assignment, I want you to take just a few moments, sit down and say, when did I first think about preaching the word of God? How has that lived out in my life? How has God continued to give me the opportunities to do that? Where have I seen this call confirmed that God has used what I have said through the power of His Spirit to bring change in life and change in people's circumstances? And then spend a moment thanking God for the calling, because it is truly an honorable and delightful one. And we'll talk next time about beginning that process of preparing to preach. So see you next time.